Our first reading tonight is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens, who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And our New Testament reading is Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen.
Let us pray together. Eternal God, we thank you for your word to us, and as we come to reflect on it briefly, we pray that you would speak to us this evening by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As a church family, it's been a really tough year for us. We have had 18 funerals, and each person so precious to their family and also to our wider church family. We've heard it said when it comes to grief that time is a great healer. I'm not sure that that is actually the case. I think what time does is that it allows us time to adjust to a new reality of living. But it is God who is the one who brings his healing through offering his comfort and his hope. For many people, Christmas isn't always a happy time of the year. Every one of us will have experienced loss at some point. For some of us, that experience is very raw and very painful at the moment. For some of us, maybe the sharpness of that pain isn't as severe as once it was, but the pain is nevertheless still very real. Many households have a chair where each person sits. It is their chair. I know in my parents' home, my dad sits in a certain chair that is beside the music system so he can plug in with his earphones. Doesn't do technology, so doesn't have Bluetooth. Plugs it in and he can listen to his classical music. Mum then by default sits in the chair that happens to be opposite the TV because frankly she's not going to get anything out of dad. My wife's cousin used to talk in terms, this was years ago, he talked about this, about the number one chair in my then parents-in-law's household. And he talked about a pecking order of where people sit in terms of the seniority in that household. So my father-in-law, who sadly died 8 years ago, used to have his chair and nobody sat in Richard's chair. And then Margaret, my mother-in-law, had her chair, and then Kenneth, my brother-in-law, had his chair, and Taryn, my sister-in-law, had her chair, and Darren, my wife, had her chair. I had the rickety old stool in the corner. In the manse, we don't have a number one chair. We have whatever chair you can sit on where the cat isn't sitting. But we have one chair in the manse that is very, very special to me. It was my granddad's chair. When my Nana died last year, members of the family, as is often the case, take various items of the loved one, and I took granddad's chair. When I was a child, that has always been granddad's chair. Now, it's been recovered and reupholstered since then, but it's decades old, and it sits there in the manse in my study. And now I sit on that chair whenever I'm doing my own devotions and my own reading. And as I was sitting down this week and preparing what I might say for tonight, I was looking at that chair and just imagining my granddad sitting there. He died 28 years ago, but it might as well have been yesterday. And I still really feel that loss, because he was the only one who would entertain me with, you know, having theological conversations. And he'd be so happy now. He's a Leicester City fan, brought up in Leicester, and always used to go to Filbert Street, and he would be so delighted with the way Leicester are going at the moment. But I look at that chair and I think of him. We all know only too well about the empty chair. The person who always sat in their chair and who is no longer there, and it now lies empty. It's a powerful image for us, isn't it? Or we can maybe think of the Christmas dinner. We gather around the table and there's that chair that is empty. And eating together on Christmas Day is such a special and indeed sacred time, and people travel miles and miles to be with family and friends. But what about the empty chair? And how do we think about the empty chair? Let me pause in your thoughts at the moment and ask you to consider another empty chair. An empty chair in heaven. For at the right time, according to God's plan, the eternal Son of God left his Father's throne and for 33 years shared our humanity. There's an empty chair in heaven for that time. Charles Wesley, in his great hymn, And Can It Be, says, He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. I love you too much to sing it to you. You'll be glad to know. The empty chair is a powerful image, a very poignant image. And when we think of the empty chair where our loved ones used to sit, we have that aching loss in our hearts. But those who are in Christ do not grieve without hope as others do. Even in sorrow, we can yet rejoice, because we place our confidence in knowing that death doesn't get the last word. When the empty chair seems too much to bear, we cling to the hope of heaven's table. At Christmas time, we will have mixed emotions for many of us. We will laugh with those around us, and we will weep for those who are no longer with us. And we look to the day when all the people of God will be gathered around the table prepared by the carpenter's hand. But until that day comes, we continue to live in a new reality with the physical absence of our loved ones. And so we look to the Lord, who brings comfort and hope. Amen.